I love that passage from Genesis for today, where Abraham's servant is off trying to find a good wife for Isaac. You know, Isaac is the son of the promise. Isaac is the only child really given to Abraham and Sarah together. He is the promise upon which God lays the expectation of myriad of offspring, land, and God's presence. And so what does Abraham do? He employs the first dating app. He sends a servant back to his home country looking for a wife. Now, if there ever was looking for a needle in a haystack, this is it. And the servant says unto himself, I'm going to set some criteria for knowing God's will in this matter of finding my master a wife. Have you ever set criteria for knowing God's will? Yes, we all have. Lord, if you want me to do this, here is the sign I want from you. When I was much younger, I told God, if you want me to love my little sister, I want $10,000 in small currency bills on my desk in the morning. That was back when $10,000 would really go somewhere, too. Never got that $10,000, but I did come to love my sister, though it was a long and arduous journey, but glad to say now we are the best of friends, and she lives a respectable 15 miles away. Close enough to come in an emergency, but too far away to come and cut my grass. The servant gives God parameters within which God is to work. Most of us of Reformed heritage would say, that is so blasphemous. But back in the day, it probably was not at all that uncommon. Lord, the woman whom you want to be my master's wife will come, and I will ask her to give me a drink, and she will say, here you are, and I'm going to water your camels too. When I heard that passage being read today, my mind went back to my childhood. You know, most of us know classical music by virtue of the cartoons we watched when we were younger. Yeah. And my mind went to the Light Cavalry Overture. I've forgotten the composer. But you had, what was the guy that always had the 2 6 guns? Yosemite Sam. And he is riding horses, and then he's riding camels, and the music is going on, and he keeps calling the camels his mules. Only Yosemite Sam can do that. That's an aside you don't need to worry about. That will not be on the test. So he's there with all his camels, and sure enough, Rebecca comes and gives him a drink and waters his camels, and he goes and he negotiates with her father, and she says, yes, I want to go. And they make their way back home, and she sees miraculously Isaac, who has suddenly appeared, coming across the field to meet her. And at this point, the camera goes into slow motion as they move toward each other. And there's lovely music playing in the background. And they are married, and they live quasi-happily ever after. The first dating app actually worked out. And so we're all happy. And we're thinking God is good. And then we go to our Romans passage for today, and we are suddenly yanked back into human nature. Suddenly, the blue skies and the soaring bluebirds and someone singing somewhere over the rainbow disappears, and we're back into the darkness of ourselves. Paul gives a statement that we are in this eternal struggle with our human nature. We're in this eternal struggle with doing what we want to do, which is evil, and what God wants us to do, which is good. And in the medieval woodcuts, you would see people there with an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, trying to decide which one they were going to follow. And if you were like me, you first saw that little angel and that little devil in cartoons, as people, usually Bugs Bunny, was trying to decide which course to take. Paul says, the good I would do, I do not, and the evil I would not do, I do. O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin? Christ Jesus, our Lord. One of the gospel truths that we hold as people of the Reformation is that God can take the evil we do, the evil we don't want to do, but do anyway, and God, by grace, can transform even that evil into something good. Joseph in Egypt, standing by the grave of his father, and the brothers gathered around wondering, what is Joseph going to do with them now? And they ask him, what would you do with us now that our father is dead? And Joseph responds, that which you meant for evil, the Lord turned around for good. That is Old Testament gospel, and it is still true today. There is no evil that we can commit that is beyond God's ability to transform. And I have seen it happen over and over again. People who suffer addictions are healed and go forth and help others recover from their addictions. Is it a perfect program? No. But it sure is wonderful. People who have suffered from cancer and are healed go into the hospitals and become support groups for people who are suffering from the ravages of that terrible disease. People who have suffered unspeakable tragedies, like the loss of a child, go out and support others who are going through the same thing. What this tells us is that human life is hard. Human life is full of things we don't want. And yet the grace of God brings us together, and God transforms our suffering into miracles. It's a powerful lesson of God's presence in the world. And it gives me hope for the wider range of humanity, even those who don't understand what's going on, and perhaps most especially for those who don't understand what's going on in the activity of God's kingdom. Jesus, in our gospel lesson, addresses people like that. He says, you know, I can't keep you happy. We played wedding and you wouldn't dance. We played funeral and you wouldn't mourn. John came along eating bugs and wearing a hairy coat, preaching the word of God, and you said he has a demon. I come along, I eat, I drink, I have a good time, I party with the best of them. You say I'm a glutton and a drunkard, and I sit at table with tax collectors and sinners. Let me tell you something, Jesus says. That zany son of Zechariah and Elizabeth and I have more in common than you think. because the two extremes are here to show you that God's kingdom embraces all. You know, sometimes we figure we got God kind of figured out. I've had people like that. I've had grandparents like that. God wants you to do this, that, and the other. How do you know that? Don't ask questions. You ever had those kind of people? The kind of people put bumper stickers on the back of their cars. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God is reduced to black and white, put in a box, stored up in the closet until they can trot God out again with their leisure. God refuses to be contained in our theologies, no matter how advanced they may be. God refuses to be encased in our religion, no matter how beautiful it might seem. God is a God who transcends all and calls us to live in His grace and His glory. And just as there are so many trout in the world, so there are so many people, and God loves us all. And God is available to all. And God speaks to all, even those who won't dance at weddings and those who won't mourn at funerals. Even those who think they've got all figured out, God's grace extends to each and every one of us. As I said, I love that Old Testament lesson. The first dating app. Abraham sends a servant out. Excuse me. Abraham sends a servant out to find a wife for Isaac. That is a fitting image of God the Father sending the Son out to call each and every one of us home. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, we are all called home by this servant of God, God's own Son, calling us to be in relationship with our Creator God and all of His creations. Let us pray. O God, our Father, help us to keep from making generalizations about one another. Rather, help us to appreciate that there is more that binds us together than there is that pulls us apart. Help us to hear the voice of your Son who calls us to come home and to be in the family you have created. And teach us, O Lord, to sing at weddings, to mourn at funerals, and to live our lives as gifts, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.